Welcome to Reclaiming Womanhood, where we encourage you to boldly become the woman God has perfectly designed you to be. I am your host, Allison Powers, and today we are diving into another powerful topic that will empower you through God's Word to go against the grain of today's culture, reclaim womanhood, and walk it out as moms, wives, and sisters in Christ. Let's get into today's show. Hi there, and welcome to another episode of Reclaiming Womanhood. This is your host, Allison Powers, and I am, as always, so excited to be here today because we're talking about one of my favorite topics, homeschooling. And so this episode is for the homeschooling mom who is just, you know, exhausted and ready for the year to be done. So this is your last shot of encouragement for me, homeschooling-wise, this year. I want to encourage you. I love to talk about homeschooling on this podcast because Reclaiming Womanhood is all about living out our lives as moms, wives, and sisters in Christ, how God designed us to be as women. It's so different from what the culture says. And in addition to that, raising up the next generation to live out their lives as God has called them to, both our sons and our daughters, we need to raise up. And I think homeschooling is an incredible way to do that, to achieve those goals. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. But before I dive into today's topic, I want to share with you my big announcement. I'm so excited to tell you. I will be speaking at my first public event on June 11th and June 12th. And the event is called the Connect and Grow Educational Retreat for Moms. So it's similar to a homeschool conference. It's a mini homeschool conference just for moms. And it can be a one-day or a two-day thing. You can choose to stay the night or not. It's right here local in Romeo, Michigan. So if you're in the area, within an hour even or two, it totally would be worth your drive. It's going to be a retreat-like setting, so you can, depending on what price you want to pay, you can choose to stay overnight. You can choose to have all your meals there for you. So you literally don't have to lift a finger and you can just enjoy a night away and an encouraging couple of days with lots of different speakers, lots of different homeschool moms. And I'm actually going to talk about it later in the podcast about why conferences and retreats like this are so, so imperative for a homeschooler. So I'm not going to dive into that quite yet because I want to talk about something else first. But nevertheless, I'll link to the speaking event that I'll be at in the show notes and you can check it out. I hope you do consider going because you will not regret it. Absolutely, positively will not regret it. I can assure you that. So today I want to give you a little bit of encouragement though. Encouragement for the last few days, weeks, not months, though I'm going to tell you, not months of homeschool. I hope you just only have a few days or a few weeks left, okay? So hear me out. The first thing I want to talk to you guys about in homeschooling, mom, summer break. It is so important. I know it is tempting to be like, oh, we have like a certain amount of pages left in our math. If we just do one page a day or half a page a day, we'll finish by August. We'll have a week off and then we'll start the next year. Okay. I know a lot of moms would do that, and that's fine. To each their own. You guys are welcome to, but I'm not an advocate for that. I'm not going to tell you to do that. I'm not going to tell you I think that's a great idea. I just don't. It's just not my style. Some of my friends do that, and that's fine. Everybody's different, okay? But hear me out. Hear me out why I think you need a break and your kids need a break. Number one reason is summers are short. I don't know what state you live in, but here in Michigan, summers are so short and the sunshine doesn't last very long. So I tell this to my kids all the time when we have snow days in Michigan a lot. And they're always like, Mom, some of our friends are having a day off of school for a snow day. I'm like, no, we don't do snow days. I'm sorry. We do summer days. We get off school like 3 weeks earlier than the rest of them. And we don't start till 2 weeks later. Like, no, wouldn't you rather have summer days? So I try to get as much done in the winter time when it's cold and icky. And so we can just enjoy the short, warm summer of our state. So that is number one reason we all need summer break. Okay. Number two is this. You need a break. They need a break. Nobody is going to be excited to start school in the fall if you never stop school. Okay. Bottom line there. No one's going to want to be like, yes, we get a new book. No, they're going to be like, ugh, does this ever end? They need a break. You need a break. I don't know about you, but there's something about once in a while we'll do this. It doesn't happen very often because like I said, I like to try to finish by early, like mid-May. There's something about waking up and just being like, you know what? No school today. And just having the day free of no school. It's an awesome feeling. And guess what? You can do that for the entire summer and just enjoy each other's company. And that leads me to the next reason why I think going to school through summer is not the best of options. And that is because I heard someone say this on a podcast, and I think he said it perfectly. He said, I dare say that the real learning begins when the books get put down. And I think that's so true. Now, the beauty of homeschooling is homeschooling doesn't take that long in the day. It shouldn't take that long, at least. I've talked about this before. It should only take a couple, 2-3 hours, really. And if it's taking longer than that, it might be time to reevaluate what you're doing. Are you expecting too much? So on and so forth. But that's the beauty of homeschooling, is that it doesn't take very long. So every day we get to put down the books and the real learning gets to start. That's what's cool. But in the summertime, that gets to happen every single day. And that is the beauty of summer break. We get to educate the whole person. Just a quick example. So tomorrow we're having a baking day. I'm having a baking day with the kids. And we're going to bake some Mother's Day treats and stuff. And I was going to try to like cram in school, cram in all the baking, and you know, baking makes a mess in the kitchen and do all the things. And I'm like, no, I've learned this before, but sometimes I don't learn my lesson. Maybe you can relate. I've learned this before, that when I try to like add something extra into the school day, I'm better off just putting down the books. Because if I try to put the books in, like do the school and then do the extra thing, everyone's stressed the whole day because I'm stressed, because I'm trying to cram. Everything is speedy. Like we are in a hurry to get to the next thing and this is a mess. And oh my gosh, did you do your math corrections? Did you do, like, everybody is on fire. And so I've learned that if I'm going to add something extra, just drop the books for that day. So we are not doing any school tomorrow, but we are doing a ton of baking. And quite frankly, they're going to learn just as much, if not more, by baking. This is why. In their math book, sometimes it'll have a recipe, okay? And it'll ask them, double this recipe. I could just be like, hey, double the recipe. That'll be your math for today. But they learn so much more from the actual process of the baking, the following the directions, putting the things in, doubling the recipe if they have to, waiting patiently for it to be done in the oven. And then the sweet satisfaction of having something that they made and like knowing it was their efforts that did it. That the learning that takes place in that is so, so much greater than doubling some fractions on a math page. There's so much that character that goes into when you sit down and actually bake with them. And that's just one example. So the beauty of summer is stuff like that happens naturally all the time. I don't want you to sit down and be like, oh, okay, so summer is for, you know, schooling the whole human being of our child, and I need to plan out everything they're going to learn. No, just let your life happen and just let them be alongside you in life, and that's naturally going to take place. You have a garden? Probably. A lot of people do. You're going to garden together. Wow, is that ever character building? Planting something in the ground and seeing it grow, and then it produces fruit, and it's amazing. There's so much that happens naturally in life, and that's going to take place. There's just so much more freedom to do that when you take the time to put away the books and not try to do all the things all the time. There's so much learning that takes place in the summer. Just when you have the free time to just be. I'm going to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6 because God's word says this perfectly. It says this, chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk on the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Guys, that's all day long. He's basically saying all day long, you're to impress these things on your children. Our schooling doesn't start and end when we open and close the books. Our schooling of our children takes place all the live long day. That's when our responsibility to homeschool our children is all day long. And it's because the reason being is because it's not just about academics. I'm not saying that I don't think academics are important. I think they're super important. But I also realize, and I hope you do too, that just a small percentage of their learning takes place in the books. Such a greater part takes place outside of those things, outside of the books, when we close the books. And don't get me wrong, I can be very, very tempted to be like, oh, I just want to finish all the lessons. I want to do this, that. You just got to get this more right. You have to be correct when you do. I probably just said that wrong. Anyways, I can be tempted to like want to perfect the academics and forget that that's not the only point. Now, I think it's important to learn how to read, write, do those things, arithmetic. Those things are important, but there's so many greater things that happen outside of that. In Titus 2, if you're not familiar with that part of scripture, I encourage you to read the whole book. Today, open up and read it. It's literally will take you 6.5 minutes. But tons of wisdom in there. And in there, I think it was Paul who wrote this to Titus, which was one of his young men who was a missionary. And anyways, he was telling Titus how to raise, like, how to, admonish the church that, I think it was in Crete, and the church was having some struggles, I think, in their, like, leadership, and he's like, well, tell them to do this, and them to do, and then tell them to teach their women to do this, and blah, blah, blah. So it was basically as an outline for what women need to teach to the younger women, and what they need, to, and what needs to be taught to the younger men. And it's an outline for us as parents, too. It's pretty cool. You ever want to know what you got to teach your kids? It's right here. So it says this, then they, referring to the women, can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, to be pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, to be subject to their husbands so that no one will malign the word of God. Freeze for 1 second. That has nothing, it doesn't say anything about like teach them, you know, long division and stuff like that. It's, there's so much more importance in teaching them character than all the facts. Then it goes on to say, similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. I want to go back right to verse 7. In everything, set them an example. That can't happen if we are not putting the books down and just living life together and being an example to our kids throughout all the things of life, as we grocery shop, as we do all the things that happen in life, setting an example for them is how they really learn. And that's why summer break is so important. So I want to end with this, that this section of our podcast with this. A smart person who lacks wisdom is just a fool who can spew out facts. He is in no way in a benefit to society. We don't want just smart kids. We want kids who also are wise. If our kids have just knowledge and no wisdom, we're not doing a service to the community around us, and we're not doing them any service. We're doing a disservice to our culture by just raising up knowledgeable kids. But when we combine that knowledge with wisdom that they get through everyday life, that they get through God's word, that they get through being around us when we're being an example of God's word, that's when they get wisdom. When we combine that wisdom with knowledge, then they are a force to be reckoned with. No, then they're, it's a wonderful thing. It is that we're raising them up to be what God has called them to be. So it's important. All right, so I want to challenge you to put a date on your calendar right now and say when the last day of school is. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. I don't care if you finish all the books. Put an end date. We're going to talk about some last minute like motivators you can give your kids to get to that end date. But first, I want you just to sit down, write that end date. So our end date is the day before Memorial Weekend. It's a little later than I wanted to end this year, but that's okay. May 28th is our end date. So that, if that's what you want to borrow that with me, go for it. That end date is what we're doing. So the next challenge I have for you, I challenge you to go to a homeschool conference this year. Why a homeschool conference? Because homeschool conferences, if you have ever been, you know, frustrated or discouraged this year or wanting to quit homeschooling, it can be hard. We all know that. If you've ever felt that way, you need to go to a homeschool conference. A homeschool conference is a much needed day or a night away. They can be one day events. They can be overnights. Doesn't, you know, they're all a little bit different depending on where they are geographically too. And it's also great if you can get your husband to go with you. My husband always goes with me to homeschool conferences. He acts like he doesn't want to, but I don't think he regrets it once we leave. Although I should have him on here for an interview and he'll tell you how he really feels. But he does go with me every year and we do get so much out of it. Though we have not gone, let me tell you, in 2 years. Last year, everything got canceled. The year before that, I ended up being a vendor at a conference. So I was there, but I didn't get to like go to anything because I was a vendor at a booth the whole time. But that's okay. So it's not okay though. I need to go to a conference. So there's going to be, that's my goal this summer. My favorite conference has already been canceled in our state and I'm so sad. But the one in Romeo is not canceled, ladies. So please go to it. You will not regret it. Get your best friend to go with you who homeschools and you guys make it a night away together. It would be so therapeutic for you, I'm sure. If you don't have a best friend who homeschools, you need to go all the more because then you're going to find your best friend who homeschools at the homeschool conference. It will be awesome. I guarantee you, you will not regret it. I know personally, when it comes to homeschool conferences, every year I have this feeling. I know I'm going to like it. I know I'm going to want to go, but do I really want to get a sitter arranged? Do I really want to pay the entry fee? Do I really want to be away from the kids, like, and, you know, have to organize all that? Do I really want to go through all that trouble? And every time I do it, I am so happy that I did. I come back totally refreshed, totally excited to start school in the fall. Not right away. In the fall. Totally. I have new ideas. I have just this new things that I thought that were just obstacles that I wouldn't be able to break through have been broken through because I realize that there, when you're around other homeschoolers, you can, it helps you to think outside the box a little bit when you really feel trapped in your own thoughts. So it gives you encouragement right where you are at. There's always, usually a ton of speakers speaking on all different age groups, all different topics, and they will give you encouragement exactly where you need it. This homeschool conference that I'll be speaking at will have workshops that are more practical for practical advice, like, you know, how to get your child to love writing or, you know, things along those lines, which most conferences do have these different types of workshops. And then there are also those workshops that are more the general workshops that are, you know, I'll never forget the one, I think it was the first homeschool conference I ever went to. And the workshop was called How to Teach That Child. And it was, the workshop wasn't anything like specific like math or English or anything like that. It was basically how to teach that child in quotation marks. Now, if you don't know what that child is, then you don't have that child. And that child in this particular workshop, it was really cool. She talked about like that difficult child that everybody typically has and how to get to that child's heart. And that I remember like just being in tears in that workshop, and that workshop was so encouraging and so motivating. I actually don't even have that child, to be honest with you, but it still really, really encouraged me and motivated me. So there's all different types of workshops at homeschool conferences, and you will be encouraged. You will not regret going. You will be very, very grateful. I guarantee it. I really do. Usually there's a curriculum sale attached to the conference, so you can go into these vendor areas and touch all the curriculum and see what you want, like see if you really do like it, because sometimes you see things online, but it's so nice to actually hold it in your hand and look at things. There's, you know, all types of resources like that. You get to meet a lot of the speakers, which I love. I remember the first conference I went to, I literally chased down Heidi St. John. I don't know if you've ever listened to her podcast. If you don't, you should. It's called Off the Bench. She actually just started another one called American Town Hall with Heidi St. John. And on that one, she's going to talk like all things politics, which I'm excited about because she talks about them from a very biblical worldview, which isn't hard to do because our nation was founded on biblical principles. However, it's going to be an awesome podcast about how to get in the game in the political world when you feel like, what do I even do? Because I know I need to get involved. Anyways, Heidi's going to talk about that. So anyways, I remember we were at it was the first time I ever went to a homeschool conference, and I saw her walking and I like ran up the stairs. I'm like, Heidi, hi. And I didn't even have to say, like, I don't know why I like ran up to her. I'm like, I read your blog. Hi. And like, it was just so awkward and silly. Anyways, that's always cool because you do get to like meet some of the speakers and stuff like that. But, and you do kind of feel like you know them if you follow these speakers. My husband and I were in Waco, Texas a couple years ago, 2019, I think. And there was a homeschool conference taking place. We did not go to the conference, but there was a homeschool conference in the town that we were in. And so all the homeschoolers were there, the homeschool speakers were there, and we're walking through the Magnolia silos, and I see Todd Wilson. If you don't know Todd Wilson, you should listen to him. He's amazing. He's the smiling homeschooler. And I'm like, I know that guy. What? How do I know that? I couldn't like put it together. Like I literally thought like I knew him. Like he was someone like I've talked to before. I'm like, oh, Luke, it's Todd Wilson. And I like went up to him. I'm like, hi, excuse me. Can my husband take a picture with you? I didn't want to be awkward and like take a picture with him. And because, you know, he's all about encouraging the homeschool dad. So I made Luke get in a picture with him and it was cool. So that's another cool thing. You get to meet some of these speakers that you really enjoy following and talking to and just get their advice on things. It's awesome. Awesome. Also, it provides you with community of homeschoolers. When you go to a homeschool conference, you are surrounded by like-minded people who are doing the same thing that you are doing. If you've ever felt like the odd man out in your family or like at your church and you're like the only one who homeschools, you got to go to a homeschool conference because you are surrounded by other people who homeschool. And just in the moment when you feel like you're alone and you're the only one who struggles with whatever it might be, fill in the blank, the only one who struggles with teaching your kid how to read, or the only one who struggles with handwriting or whatever it might be, or the only one who struggles with the rebelling teenager, go to a homeschool conference and you will very quickly realize you are not alone in that. There are so many people who are either having the same struggle or who have already gone through it and can walk alongside you and give you real awesome encouragement in that specific area. So I can't stress this enough. Going to a homeschool conference is what you need to get on your calendar in addition to the last day of your school, because if you've ever had any bit of discouragement in your homeschool or bad day, this is the solution. that will help to encourage you all over again. It is like knowing that there is something wrong with you medically and knowing that there is a cure for it and not doing it just because you don't have the time and don't want to spend the money. That's on you. Listen, this will totally and completely give you the encouragement that you need. Homeschool conferences are awesome. Obviously, you know I'm a huge advocate for them. So I do hope that you get one on your calendar. You will not regret it, I can promise. Okay, so last thing I want to talk to you about today. We've talked about summer break. It's important. We've talked about you getting into a homeschool conference. Also important. But we're still a month out-ish. Maybe you're finishing school already. If you are, high five. Be done. Don't even listen to the rest of this podcast. But if you're like me, you're a month out. Everyone's getting excited. The weather's getting warm. We just have a little bit to go. And how do you motivate your kids to finish school? Are they, you know, are they struggling? Are they waking up like, I don't want to do school anymore? And here is just some practical tips how to motivate them. So tip number one, or thing number one, I guess I would say, is first and foremost, if your kids aren't motivated to do school, I would first look at it like, are they not motivated because they're just like having that summer fever? Or are they not motivated? Are they never motivated for school? Like, is this an ongoing thing? Has this been going on since, you know, October? If that's the case, then we need to really look at some things a little bit deeper. And we need to remind our kids that school is not optional. We have to do the school things. It's important. We have to learn how to read, write, and do math. We have to learn about our history of our nation from a biblical worldview. Easy to do. History is fun if you have a good curriculum. We have to learn what God's word says. Like, we have to learn those things. Those things are important. Now, those things don't have to take a long time. And if your kids are constantly not wanting to do school, I would take a look at, I would talk to them and just be like, what is it about school that you dread? And they may open their heart to you. Now, they might, at the beginning, they might say, because I've done this with my kids before, like, what is it that you're dreading? And that, I just don't like school. Okay, let's get more specific. But if you dig a little bit, you'll find out, like, I just really don't like fill in the blank. You know, I don't like that it takes us 6 hours. And they probably don't if it's taking you 6 hours. But so just dig a little bit and find out if it's something bigger than that. But if it's just like school, summer's almost here and I'm over it, I just don't feel like, if it's almost like more of like a motivation, like a lazy thing, these are some tips to help you help your kids stay motivated and finish strong. But if it is the first thing, I also encourage you to get your husband involved 100%. Hello, he's the principal of your school. Get your husband to talk to your kids and to get them on track. We've had to totally whip things into shape in our house many times. It happens multiple times throughout the year. Okay, it's just the reality of things. So anyways, these are tips to like finish this last month when we're all ready to be done. Let's just finish strong. So tip number one. Oh, also remember, everybody's personality is different. So if any of this sounds like draining to you, just don't listen to it. Just skip it and don't do it. Okay, tip number one, a prize bin. We've just started doing this a few months ago. And the prize bin, I just have it full of like stuff from the dollar store. Little things, bubbles. I'll buy like these yummy granola bars that I never buy and throw them in there. Dollar store socks, nail polish, race cars, blah, blah, blah. Dollar store stuff. And I put them in a bin. And I go maybe once a month to fill this bin up, and the kids get points for certain things. And once they get 10 points, they get a prize from the prize bin. So what you can, this has been very motivating for my kids this year. You can give points for whatever you need your kids to focus on in school. So for us, I did points more based on, how do they get points? Now I'm drawing a blank. Oh, we were struggling with them reading. I wanted them to read more. So I was offering them points for a certain amount of time reading. They got points if they did typing. There's some optional things that we have that they can do in school that I really don't require, like Spanish. If they did 15 minutes of Spanish, they get a point, stuff like that. My friend has used this point system before, and she does it differently. She does it, if you finish your math for the day, you get a point. If you finish your English for a day, you get a point. If you each subject, she would give a point. I give points for things like fold mom a load of laundry. You know, I like it to be helpful to me. Or unload the dishwasher, you know, or do the dishes. Or brush the dog. Oh my gosh, my dog shed so much. So those types of things is how my kids earn points. And it motivates them to move to action, to do things. And that can be a helpful motivator for them to finish off their schoolwork. Also, have a visual countdown. This is another idea to keep them motivated. However, to have a visual countdown, you need to have an end date. So have the tear-off rings or anything that they can visually see and they can get excited about tearing down. Now, if you're not planning on stopping till like the middle of July, that is not going to be a very exciting countdown chain because the chain's going to go from here to your neighbor's house. So, you know, try to be realistic with when school should end and have a countdown going. They'll see it. They'll get excited. They'll love tearing that ring off. Even my kids at this age would love doing that. Another thing, tell them about friends. I did this to my kids and it so worked out great. Their friends were finishing their school books already. They were finishing like their math and stuff. And my kids literally got their math and their, like my son finished his English today. He did like 10 days of English today. Now it took him like an hour and a half, but, or it could take him 7 minutes a day. You know, English doesn't take that long, okay? Ours doesn't. Anyways, master books, they're awesome. Anyways, he did it all in one day and he's done now for the year with English. And so he was inspired by his friends who did that. Here's another thing you can do. If you do like have a curriculum that has like 180 days in it and you guys are on like day 120, say, okay, you got 60 days left and you only got a month. You can try to, you're a little bit far. I'm not saying this to discourage you. Don't make them cram all of that in to like a month. That would be a lot, but like set the bar at like, less than 160 or something and say, okay, if you double up or triple up or try to like put in this many minutes a day, just give them like a tangible goal. Give them, say, do 2 lessons a day for like 10 days and like, look how far you're going to get. And then we can be done. Or if you are reachable, I think my kids were at like less than 155 for math and they took it to church. I had to be at church for like a practice for like, I think we were there for like 4 hours from start to finish. Anyways, I'm like, bring your math. And they sat there and did their math. They finished like 20 days of math. And while we were sitting there, and then I checked it all, I had to go back and correct it, but mostly it was done. And they were done in a few hours, what they would have taken them a month. So that's one way to motivate them. Say, listen, if you finish this, you can be done for the year and you don't have to start the next book. And that's the key thing. Don't say, okay, if you finish your 5th grade math, I'm going to start you on 6th grade. Nuh-uh. Don't do that. That's not fair. That's not playing nice. If you let them finish and let them be done. Cause that's like a motivation that I'm like, now my kids don't have to do math for the rest of the year. And my son doesn't have to do English either. And the thing is with, I understand when parents say, well, I want to start them on the next year math because I don't want them to fall behind, but hear me out. Math and all the subjects really are designed in such a way that the first couple weeks anyways are reviewing what they learned last year. I promise you they will not go blank in the summer. They really won't. I know everyone argues that and says, oh, that's why schools send home math packets. Guys, seriously, I promise you it's not going to impact them in a major way in their adult life if you don't make them start their 6th grade math till fall. Like, that's totally not going to impact them in a big way in their adult life. You know what is going to impact them in a big way in their adult life? Spending quality time with their parents throughout the summer and not doing math. That is going to impact them. Seriously, think about it. So let them cram and finish and stop making them start the next year because it's just not, it doesn't have enough value to it to say that it's actually going to make a huge difference. It really doesn't. Start it in the fall. All right. Another thing you can do, write a summer bucket list. Make that one of your fun school day things. Start a summer bucket list and say, all right, kids, we're going to write out 25 things we want to do this summer. I did 100 one time, I think, or 50. And I told the kids, I'm like, we're going to do as many as we can. Even if we get half of these done, it's going to be so much fun. Such a fun summer. And it was. So anyways, make a bucket list, write 25, 50, 100 things that you want to do in the summer. Don't freak out if you don't do them all. But tell your kids, listen, we will start this bucket list once our school is done for the year. And that'll get them motivated because they're going to be looking at that list like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to go to the ice cream store in my pajamas or whatever your bucket list is. There's so many fun things you can put on your bucket list. And that could totally motivate them. Another idea is start taking a day off a week. If you can do it, if you can do that, start taking a day off of school a week or two even and give them a taste of summer. You know, I like to phase into school at the beginning of the year, start phasing out of school. That'll kind of motivate them. Again, sometimes you got to let go of some things and realize you're not going to finish them. And that's okay. I have one child that's not going to finish some things and that's okay. We started in the middle of the year, certain things, and they're not going to finish them before the end of the year. And if I did try to cram it, I don't think the child would want to talk to me anymore. Like, it would be awful. And that would defeat the purpose of homeschooling. We want to build relationships with our kids, not tear them down or make them not want to be around us. Okay. Again, I think academics are important, but they're not the end all be all of this world. Their life, the life will go on. All right. That's what I got for motivating tips. If I think of anything at the last minute here, I'll spew it out. But I hope that motivated you to finish your homeschool year strong, but also finish it with a realistic mindset. Don't try to cram too much in just for the sake of finishing, because quite frankly, the real learning's going to start once we put those books down and we just relax and enjoy each other and be around each other. All right, guys, another episode in the books. I hope that was encouraging to you. Sign up for a homeschool conference. Go put that date on your calendar when you're finishing school, and have an awesome week. We'll see you guys back here next time. For more encouragement and to find out where else we can connect online, visit AllisonPowers.com. Thanks for listening.